have Jeff Haverhills, the, what are you, a CEO?
Founder?
I am a servant.
A servant. That's a good way to put that.
Yep.
And you have a ministry called Kingdom Boundaries, and you're going to talk about that today and
yep.
tell us how that came to be and some of the things that you're up to.
I can do that.
All right. Well, we'll turn it over to you then.
Thank you, sir. And, yeah, good morning, and thanks for having me. And people ask me a lot of times, how's my ministry going? And I just say, it's not mine. I just get to work there. This is God's ministry. And I'm going to start. It's a couple things during the service God will provide. This is going to be a testimony about how God has provided for Kingdom Boundaries, because he does. And the other thing that caught my attention is in you choose the path the world saw as foolish. You used what the world considered weak. And this is going to be a testimony in my life how I'm on this path that I didn't anticipate being on. So I thought it was foolish, and I'll get to that. And how God uses what the world considers to be the least, how he uses them to do great work. So this is going to be a testimony to all that, and in the process, how Kingdom Boundaries came to be. So would you pray with me just before I get started? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this church. I thank you how you intercede and intervene on our behalves. And I just thank you that you're here with me this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Northwest Iowa. I grew up on a farm. Went to church twice on Sunday. I often say it was kind of a working church environment, which I maybe really didn't appreciate when I was a kid. But I've really grown to appreciate in life now. So I see some youngsters out there that maybe don't appreciate that, but appreciate it, because later it's going to mean a lot. Grew up, like I said, on a farm. Got married when I was 20. Been married to my wife, Rhonda, for 43 years. She couldn't be with us today because she's at Crecile. Otherwise, she would. We have two biological children. And when my youngest was about 15, we were still pretty young, and we thought maybe we should get into foster care. And this is all a training ground for what I'm doing today. So we had some foster kids, and we adopted four children through the state. And then were some rough times, and we learned things that we weren't prepared to learn. We learned about attachment disorder and the way some kids, what they had to go through to even get to the point of being adopted. Some of these kids have gone through some terrible stuff, and that was a preparing ground for what I'm doing today. I often say that me and my wife have been in and out of prison for about 40 years, and that people look at us kind of funny when I say that, but about 40 years ago, I was asked to be an M2, and that's a man-to-man program where you get hooked up with an inmate, you just come in and visit. And the second gentleman that I was visiting, he was about 20, and he was in for drugs. And he was telling me a story, how he grew up with a mom and a stepdad and a biological dad that was kind of distant. But he came home from school, and his mom and stepdad were doing drugs. So there's drugs on the table, and what's a teenage kid going to do? And that ended him in prison. And then he invited me to a weekend called REC, Residents Encounter Christ. It's a spiritual weekend that they do in the prison system. And that was good. It's patterned after Crecile and that type of a weekend, a spiritual weekend. And through that process of doing several of them, I heard more stories. And I heard more stories of the men that were there. At the time, I'm a mechanic. My degree is in farm equipment mechanics. And I had a shop in Hudson, South Dakota. And my wife drugged me to Outlaw Bible Camp somewhere in the mid-90s. And I didn't want to be there very bad because I'm kind of an introvert. I just leave me alone. I want to stay in the background. But by Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, they closed their campfire worship settings with "Go and love and serve the Lord." And instead of saying, "Thanks be to God," we were encouraged to say, "Okay, I will." And when I said that, something changed. I've been going to church all my life. It's just something I had to do, check it off. But that's where God really started to suggest things in my life, and he suggested that I go to seminary, and I said, no, that's pretty foolish. I can't get up in front of people and talk. I can't remember names. No, I can't do this. But God is persistent and patient. And Sioux Falls Seminary would take a few students without a bachelor's degree. So I applied and I got accepted. So I had this great idea. I was going to go to school and run the shop at the same time. So I took a class. And I found out I was way out of my element and I wouldn't be able to do both. So I went back to the shop and I said, God, if you want me to go to school, tell you what, I'll put the shop up for sale. You sell the shop and I'll go back to school. God has a different way of working. And he said, no, you go back to school and I'll sell the shop. And that doesn't seem normal either, right? But anyway, all the time, God's just doing these little things preparing me for what I'm doing today. So I took that class, didn't go back to school for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I was at a Brothers in Blue weekend, which is another spiritual weekend that they do inside prison. And God just really, really laid on my heart that I had to do this. And I remember sitting back in church, looking at the pulpit and saying, I can't do that. I can't do this, but God can be pretty persuasive once in a while. But anyway, it was November. I called school, asked if I could get back in. I told my wife I was going to go to school, and she said, yeah, right. The last year I had the shop, we had a great year. Busy, productive. Financially, it was doing well. School started on February 5th that year. And it's November, and I got this shop. What am I going to do with this shop? In December, a gentleman called for some parts that he's been a customer for a while, and I asked if he was interested in going on his own, and he said, yeah, I've been thinking about that. So he bought the shop. So God was faithful. He said, go back to school, then we'll worry about the shop, instead of the other way around. And that's just, again, a testimony of how God's been working through this whole process. So on February 5th, 2013, on my 55th birthday, I started in seminary. That's foolish. In my mind, that's foolish. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew I wanted to stay in prison ministry. Didn't know how God was going to work it out. I was pretty excited. I kind of knew God was up to something, but I was still scared at the same time. But I was in school. And by that time, I had been doing a lot of weekend stuff inside the prison with Cornerstone Prison Church. That's on the hill with St. Dismas, which is another prison church on the hill and in Springfield at the time. So me and my wife were asked by Pastor Steve and John Van Zanten if we'd be interested in running an aftercare for guys. And again, God provided. He knew what he was doing. So we said yes. I continued to do some classes. In September of 2013, and this is where we'll start the slides in a minute, we got incorporated. But what I want to say through this, all those little things that God was doing in my life, it was a preparation for this. And all those little nudges that we sometimes get, that's God speaking to us. God doesn't always speak to us in an audible way, but we know that he's speaking to us, and we need to listen, even when it don't make sense. So to God be the glory. God be the glory in that. So in 2013, we had our first board meeting. We have a board. We became a 501c3. And our vision is to lower recidivism, the rate inmates go back to prison by fostering Christian character one person at a time. And our mission is to form healthy relationships between Christian mentors and ex-offenders, regardless of their past indiscretions. To safely reenter society, kingdom boundaries will come alongside men and women to help them discern God's love, will, and direction for their lives. And at the same time, it will make available practical assistance to become productive and independent citizens. Another way God was working in a different area was the state of South Dakota. The state of South Dakota was seeing that recidivism was too high. They were starting to understand the difficulties men have getting out of prison, the lack of housing, that sort of thing. So they contacted a gentleman, John Henderson from Minnesota, who has reentry housing in Minnesota. I didn't know they were doing that. But God did. Again, this is how God, just working through this all the time. But anyway, so they're talking to the state of South Dakota. We're getting just started in this, and God put myself and John together. At the time, what John was proposing in South Dakota had never been done. Letting inmates live together, letting inmates... I have a pink tag, so that gives me the ability to go in and out of prison. Their stance was, prior to that, if you went into prison, when they got out, we couldn't have anything to do with them. So a lot of things were changing at just the right time, again, for this to happen. It's not no accident that we're at. We are where we are, and it's easier to see that looking back than looking forward, but God has been working in my life and in the life of others to bring kingdom boundaries to where we're at today. So in 2013, it was just me and my wife and a board. We didn't have any facilities. We didn't have in a building. But there was a gentleman that was in prison. And these are some of the difficulties that guys run into. Augie. Augie was from California. Augie spent 12 years in prison. The only time Augie was in Sioux Falls was on the prison bus. So he's in Unit C. That's the minimum unit. He was on CTP. He was on parole. So they just, at that time, they were just kicking guys out, telling them to go register, go to the parole office, go to treatment. Good luck. They didn't have any direction at the time. I had an officer, I had a parole agent tell me one time, why are you helping these guys? These guys are supposed to figure it out on their own. Can you imagine not knowing Sioux Falls, having $50, don't know where anything's at, and try to make it? That's part of the reason recidivism was high, because they just didn't have any help. So we started with Augie. I'd pick him up. I'd show him around Sioux Falls, showed him where things had to be, how to get to places, took him to different places, helped him get a job. He did good at Unit C. When it was time for him to transition out of Unit C, we found him an apartment. We went to Justice for All in Rock Valley. We got furniture and everything we needed. We furnished his apartment. And Augie became successful. And it was because people cared, not just us. There was a lot of other people. They gave him a helping hand. Otherwise, he would have just been out there. So while we were doing that again, John was working in the background with the DLC. We're talking to the DLC. I don't know if I have a slide up here for that or not. Yeah, I do. So in 2014, what John would do in Minnesota, he would rent motel rooms and houses and things like that. And in Minnesota, you could put five or six guys in a house. In Sioux Falls, you can only have three different last names per address. So it isn't like we could buy a house, put a bunch of guys in there, start working with them. So he had been in contact with the owner of the Arena Motel. We didn't do that again. God's working through somebody else and brought us together. And we rented a hotel room, which was actually, it was a two-room. It was kind of it had a back room and a front room. And we ended up putting three guys in that little area. I was going in and out of prison. Guys were hearing what we were doing. We had a waiting list for guys, so we decided to get a second room. So at one point, we had six guys at the Arena Motel, and we soon found out that didn't work very well. They were on top of each other. There was no accountability. We were paying a lot out for rent. We weren't covering the expenses at that rate. So we started looking for an apartment. We started looking at apartments. So at the end of 2014, we ran across this location. It was a fourplex. We didn't have an office at the time, so we put an office in the first apartment, in apartment one. As the residents that were living there moved out, we converted the apartments to take three men. We didn't have three men per address. We had four addresses, actually. Apartment one was our office, and apartment two, three, and four. So apartment buildings worked good for this for us because of the multiple addresses. So we started putting men in there in March, and a year and a half later, and we had and by December of that year, again, we had a waiting a waiting list, a man that wanted to come. So in 2017, in September, we had a banquet, and I was just explaining how the ministry was going, and said that we had that we were full, and we had a waiting list. So we had a couple good supporters that said, maybe it's time we get another location. And prior to that, I can remember sitting in the office and people would bring it up that we should get bigger. And I said, nope, we're big enough. We got all we can handle. And then God, again, starts stirring in my heart that, okay, maybe we should expand. But then he put it on my heart that if we're going to expand, we need to expand next door. Because this facility is, and we'll see that in another picture, is right next door to the carpenter shop, the first building. And again, God is working because we had talked to the owner previously if he had want to sell, and he didn't want to sell. And John, one of our board members, said, well, maybe we should buy another apartment and just trade him, see if he'll do a trade. So in about November, I approached the owner of that facility and said, would you be interested in selling, or if we bought a different apartment, swapping? And he says, no, I think I'm ready to sell. And again, it was the right timing. We had the first building paid for. We were ready to expand. God waited, God provided when we needed it. And this facility is a sixplex. Five of the apartments are two bedrooms, and one apartment is a single bedroom. So they start in the carpenter shop, Jesus's building, and where they don't have a lot of privacy, right, guys? And we get them established there, and then as they start to do well, then we transition them to this facility where they have more privacy. There's only two men to an apartment. They have their own bedroom. There's a door on the bedroom. It's like living in an apartment, only with the accountability piece. And so the accountability piece is we have a fob system on the doors. They go in and out. They use their fob. It tracks when they come, when they go. That's one of the problems we had in the arena. They were supposed to write it down when they left. Well, if they didn't want you to know they were gone, were they going to write it down? But this way, every time they go in and out of the building, it tracks that. And the other thing that we did early on is we put cameras. We got 30 cameras between the two facilities today. It's about accountability. There's been times, I've had it a couple times, where a parole agent would call and said, hey, so-and-so home, we got him on the other side of town. And I look, and I can put him at Kingdom Boundaries. So it's not only there to keep them accountable, but sometimes it's helped them in the process as well. So in January of 2017, we bought this location. Our capacity in that building is 11. We had 9 men in the carpenter shop, and our capacity was 20. But as we're growing, we're finding that we needed more staff. We help guys with everything, anything and everything that you can think of. Some guys, you know, they were doing good. They were taking care of themselves before they went to prison. They know what to do. But then we have other guys. They maybe been in the system since they were 14 years old, transitioned out of the youth system, made it a year, got arrested. They're 35 years old. They were never taught anything growing up. They've been in the system their whole life, and they don't know how to do life any other way. I had one gentleman He got his first check, and he was upset because they took taxes out of his check. Why did they do that? They can't do that. Well, yeah, they can. They take it out of our checks as well. So it's, you know, so much stuff that we take for granted that some of these guys don't know. We help them keep track of their finances. Their money has to go into an account at the bank, and we help them with their finances. They have to grocery shop. They never grocery shop before. We've taken men to McDonald's on their first day, and they look at the screen. Order something for me. I don't know what to do. What we take for granted, some of these guys just can't do. And every guy that comes out of prison thinks he still has the word inmate on his back. He thinks everybody's looking at him. They're scared. They're nervous. They don't want to go to Walmart. It's just, again, everything that we kind of take for granted, some of these guys just need a lot of help with. And if we can get them through that process, they flourish and they do well, but they just need that. So God's been providing. We had 20 guys in the two buildings. We're getting bigger, so we started adding staff. So today we actually took apartment 2 out of the carpenter shop, and that's offices as well. So we lost some capacity in the carpenter shop. And the reason it's named the carpenter shop is we're looking for names when we first started this, and a gentleman suggested that, so we put that name above the door. And when I asked guys, what's that mean, the carpenter shop, and some of them, well, do you make cabinets there? That's what they assume. The carpenter was Jesus. And it's his building. And we call it a shop. That kind of goes back to what I was doing. I had a repair shop. Equipment came to me broken. Equipment came to me not functioning the way it was created to function. And hopefully, when it left my shop, it was in better shape than when it left. It still wasn't new, but some of the stuff that was wrong with it were fixed. And we're kind of like that. We're God's kids. We don't function the way God created us to function. Sin entered the world, so we have stuff that's wrong with us. There's stuff that we need to learn. There's stuff that needs to be fixed. And our hope, our vision is when men come to the carpenter shop, the same way, we're broken people. But when they leave, hopefully they're still not going to be brand new. They're still not going to be the way God created us to be because of sin. But hopefully they leave with a better relationship with Jesus than when they came. Hence the name, the carpenter shop. And then we got the second house, and we named that the master's house, just to carry on with the name. In 2018, this house came for sale. There's a single gentleman living there. And it's right on the north side of the master's house. Shares a driveway. He wanted to move to Colorado. It came up for sale. We talked to him about purchasing it. We really didn't want a family moving in with kids because that wouldn't be a good fit to have kids running around. Where we're at, it would be a distraction. So in 2018, we bought that, and we do put 4 men in there. And this is the property today. So the carpenter shop that was green in the previous picture and the master's house, we painted them. They're all in a row on Summit Avenue in Sioux Falls. And again, I look at that and say, because we looked at lots of properties, and God put us there for a reason, because there was that room to expand. There was that room to grow and to multiply. So our capacity is 21 because the apartment number two is also offices. And another way, I just thought of this, that God has been working through this. We have a gentleman by the name of Tim that is staff. Tim was in prison for 19 years. He was ex-military, so he's very regimented and so on. But while he was in prison, he got his bachelor's degree from Moody College. He's got a master's degree in Christian counseling, and he's working on his PhD for Christian counseling. So again, God was working in the background with him to bring this full circle and bring this all together. We didn't start out thinking that this is the way it was going to work. We didn't have it planned out. We didn't have any of that. We've just been following God's lead, and sometimes that's maybe the best way to go. How long have I been talking? Okay. I'll talk about a little bit about our vision for the future. So we have three facilities. We're working with men. It's been laid on our hearts as staff and the board to also do to help women. And so we've been looking at facilities for women. When we got the properties that we have now, God just kind of laid them in our lap. And every time we looked at a women's facility, it just never felt right. So maybe about a year ago, the discussion was started, maybe we should build. So we contacted Pitts Design, thanks Doug, and they came down and we talked with them, had several meetings, and they drew up plans for a new building. So we have plans for a new building, and we don't have any place. Where are we going to put it? So now that we know what size building is going to be, we started looking for ground. And this summer, we purchased 1.7 acres in Sioux Falls to put this building on. So this is our next phase. And this new facility will have a capacity for 40 men, 16 women. We'll put offices in there. We want a conference room and a chapel. We want to hold services there. Pastor Jason Rierisma, there's a ministry in Springfield called Livingstone Prison Church. He stepped back from that ministry. He's still employed by Livingstone. Another thing that's an obstacle for guys when they get out of prison, they've been involved in prison ministry and church, or in prison. When they get out, they want to get plugged into a ministry, and you just don't walk into a church and get plugged in. Some guys, because they're sex offenders, they can't go to church for 6 months. So Pastor Jason started plans to have a church on the outside designed for men and women as they get out of prison. In June of 2020, in the middle of COVID, we had our first service in the garage behind the master's house. So we had a service once a month, June, July, August, and September. And in February of this year, Jason started having services where Life Light is now located. We moved to First Reformed in Sioux Falls. It's just a better facility. And he's having services there every Sunday night. But the goal, the plan, the hope is on the back side of this building, there will be a chapel big enough to hold different events, and primarily so we can have Freedom's Gate and incorporate that into this building as well. So God, I hope you see how God's been working through this. This is God's ministry. He supplied everything that we needed as we needed it. God does provide. And sometimes we think we got to figure it out, have the plans. That doesn't always work out. So to God be the glory for all this and how you can help us. People ask that. We need prayer because we have a big task in front of us. We need to raise a bunch of money from a lot of different people. That's not a gift God has given me yet. And he's starting to nudge me in that direction. I just got to follow that lead as well. So we need prayer. We need prayer for direction. The guys need prayer. One thing that God recently has put on my heart is to do a better job or to incorporate treatment, drug and alcohol treatment. We're fleshing that out to see what that looks like. Secular treatment has a 12% success rate. There's a program in Tennessee called Spring to Life, S2L. It's a faith-based treatment. They got a 60% success rate. So we're doing things well, but we can do things better. And that's where we're at. So we need prayer in this. We need support in this. And to God be the glory. And you will have an opportunity to ask Joey, Michael, and Donald questions. And ask them questions. And they do a great job. So thank you very much.